You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
Good morning, beautiful people. I want to talk to you this morning about the idea of being like a child. When I grew up in my teen years, I grew up in the Thatcher years. Whether that means anything or not to you, I don't know. I'm not a political person. But I kind of had a dual life going on, because in my home life, things were very Christian and very Bible-based and very, we surrender our lives to God kind of atmosphere. And then in the school world, especially in my high school days, even teachers, they're all about earning money, getting a job, you need your education. And all my friends and people around me, apart from a couple of other Christians in my year group, the emphasis was very, very, learn to be independent. This idea that no man is an island was just out of the window. It was just like, there was a real emphasis, a real atmosphere in the school for me. And maybe it was my year group, I don't know what it was, but there was a real atmosphere, looking back, just about being self-sufficient, looking after number one. That was the religion of the day, if you like, if you're going to call it religion. That was the worldview, the mindset, of being independent and being able to self-serve, if you like. And in fact, we had one teacher as well, and just going back to the idea of being like a child, I'm kind of toying with the idea of growing up as well, and growing up and being independent and being able to look after yourself. There was one teacher who used to, when she was annoyed with our class, and I was in a set that was, it was the same set for most subjects, and it was quite a noisy class. There were a lot of talkative people in that class. And there was one teacher who was known for just telling us to grow up, but she couldn't pronounce her R's, so it was kind of, grow up, grow up. And she just sounded childish herself. And we're like kids, you know, we're 11, 12 in the first couple of years, and telling us to grow up. But we're told to grow up. And then I became a teacher in the end, and one of my favourite colleagues, and I think I'm allowed to say that, one of my favourite colleagues was a guy who ended up working with me also in the sixth form. And you'd come into the office in the morning and there'd be some snivelling, dribbling sixth former who's crying about some relationship problem, 16-year-old, 17-year-old. And his phrase was, man up. He'd say it to girls, saying, you know, Sasha, you just need to man up. Come on, get over it and get to your lesson. Forget about the fact that you've got to sit near someone who's just kissed your boyfriend or whatever it is she's done. Just get over it, man up, and stop looking at social media to make yourself feel better, because you'll feel worse. Just man up. So I've been told to grow up in my school years. I've worked with people who talk about man up. And there's a sense in which all of that is right. Even Paul, the apostle, said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, but now I'm a man. I put away childish things. Well, I'm still working on that. But while all of that is true, we do need to grow up, and we need to grow in grace, and we need to move from glory to glory, and all that sort of stuff. God has been speaking to me about being like a child again, and I believe God wants to speak to some of us about being like a child again. And it will take a paradigm shift for some of us, because we like the idea of independence. We like the idea of maybe when we got our first car, or what was your first thing that made you feel more independent? Was it your first home away from your parents? Was it your first car? Was it your first job? Was it your first steady relationship? Was it getting married? And we like all of that stuff, and it does make us feel like we've got a new identity of our own. We're not identified with being part of our parents or our family. We've got our own identity, and that's all good too. But this idea is actually true, because outside of church life, there are people who get into that situation, like they get the first car, first job, first home, feel great, feel independent, and life teaches them quite quickly that they can't do it on their own. That interdependence is actually more valuable than independence, and we need each other. And I've kind of seen a cultural shift since my growing up in the 80s in the second school that I went to. I've kind of seen a cultural shift where people talk about needing each other and linking arms with one another, so to speak, and working together and interdependence. Even in the workplace, there's more ideas about collaborative work, and even in the school situation, we talk about collaborative learning. So we've moved from independence to interdependence. We depend on one another. Even in science, they talk about a symbiotic relationship, you know, how one species needs another species in order to survive. Symbiotic relationship, that's a nice word, isn't it, for a Sunday morning? We're interdependence. But I'm telling you this morning, there's more. We need to be God-dependent. And this is the paradigm shift. Paradigm is the way you see things. This is the paradigm shift. Some of us need to just force our minds back. You know, a donkey or a horse sometimes needs blinkers in order just to see forward. Sometimes we need to blinker ourselves from some of the secular teaching that goes on around us, which is man's wisdom, and it all makes sense, but it only takes you to a certain level. And there are heights that God wants you to soar in that will only effectively work for you if you start to blink yourself away from some of the secular wisdom and start looking at God's wisdom for your life this morning. And he wants you to do something which is just a little bit crazy and a little bit wrong in the world's eyes in many ways, and that's to be like a child all over again. And that's my message this morning, is that he wants us to be like a child. Yes, it's good to be independent in some ways. It's good to be it's essential that we are interdependent. And God's designed that. It's God's idea. Family, community, the whole thing. It's dead right, interdependence. But God dependence is a level that will take you to new heights and new places. And I've just got three verses, or not actually three verses, I've got three passages from the Bible to help us understand how God wants us to be like a child. And these are three passages that God has spoke to me on. So again, as a lot of my preaching, it's not an exhaustive look at a topic, it's just what I feel God is stirring in me and the areas that God's been speaking to me. And I believe there are people in this room that need to hear this again. Some of us are mature Christians, we've known God for a long time, and this isn't new to you, this idea, but some of us, it may be new, but I just think we need reminding of this. So how did you, if you're a Christ follower, if you're an all-out follower of Jesus, if you've committed your whole life to him and you believe you are what we call saved, saved from sin, saved from an eternity without God, if you're in the kingdom, how did you get there? How did you get into the kingdom? How did you make it? Was it your own effort? Was it good works? Or was it childlike faith? Have a look at this first passage. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Now what I see there is great parents, by the way. This is not the topic, but I see here great parents. I mean, this is people, but people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Great parents bring their children to Jesus. Just wanted to say that. So if you bring in your children to church every week, well done. You are great parents. The disciples, and this also happens today, sometimes some of Jesus' disciples don't actually want to see the children, but keep bringing the children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, to bless them. But the disciples rebuked them. Get away. We don't want children around here. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So we often think of this story as something that we might use when it's a children's service, or in some churches a child baptism, or in our church a dedication of children, because it's all about Jesus loves the little children. We can even sing a song about it, which we won't. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, etc. But actually, the point of this story is that we're the children in the point of this story, because it says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That means people like this, people who are like a child. The way you got into the kingdom, to answer your question I asked you before, how did you get into the kingdom? You got in by being like a child, accepting that you couldn't get in on your own. You needed a Father God to get you in to the kingdom. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, that's not just children now, that's anyone, that includes the oldest person in this room, whoever that is. Sorry, I lost my place. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Wow! It's compulsory that we enter the kingdom like a child. It's the only way in. It's the only way. Surely that's what that sentence means. If you don't receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you're not going to get in. So there's something really important about entering like a child. So what is it about children that's so important that Jesus thought was so important? Just to finish the reading. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them and blessed them. So he was using this moment where the disciples said, we haven't got time for the kids. Just tell them to come back when they're older. And he says, yeah, I'm going to bless those children. But he uses it to make a point. It's not just that I love children. Actually, there's something about these kids that you need to learn from. Because children trust their parents, especially the little ones. I know you get to teenagers and all that sort of thing, and everything's questioned, and all the boundaries are pushed, and all that sort of thing. And boundaries are pushed, you know, when you hit the terrible twos and the threes. And there's always challenges in parenting. But generally speaking, the idea here is that children trust their parents. They believe what they say. That's why so many of us end up voting the same way our parents voted, because subliminally you've just absorbed the values of your parents. It happens like that. And in the same way, God wants you to trust him and listen to him and learn from him like a child. Like a child, which accepts that he's the one with the power. He's the one with the strength. The reason so many of us as parents have had to carry our children, even when they're able to walk, is because they can only walk so far. I used to go running 3 times a week before work, before breakfast. I used to just go running in a little circuit and where we used to live. And when Abigail was, I don't know, about 5 or 6, she cottoned onto this and asked if she could go running with me. And so I said, yeah, why not? We didn't do it on a school day. I did an extra run that week on a Saturday morning. And she got there in a 5-year-old sort of tracksuit and all that sort of thing. And I thought we'd probably do the full circuit and we might walk some of it. But we just kind of ran about, I don't know, an eighth of it, a tenth of it. And she was tired and we walked back. But I thought that was really cute. It's one of those special memories in my child rearing or whatever. So there's points where you just have to carry your kids, isn't there? Because you're more strong than they are. When we receive the kingdom of God like a child, we accept that God needs to carry us. We can't be totally independent, and our interdependence as a community will only take us so far. And in fact, sometimes as a whole community, we need God to carry us. We need to get, in fact, if we're to enter into more of the kingdom, if that's kind of possible, as a community, we need God to carry us. We need God to take us so much further. So it's a childlike dependence on God. And that means slaying some dragons on the inside of us. It means slaying some ideas and putting some ideas on the altar and saying, God, I'm just surrendering everything to you. Maybe God's challenging somebody this morning to say, I'm going to surrender everything to you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm certainly not going to trust the leadership of Brixton Community Church. I'm certainly not going to trust entirely, you know, put all my trust in all those other people around me that are so wonderful. I'm going to put my trust in God. So, how do we enter the kingdom of God? We have faith like a child. What does that look like? I think one of the things it looks like that God has challenged me on over the last few years, which I've preached on a little bit recently, is to rest like a child. And I talked a few months ago about fighting from a place of rest, about the idea that God will fight for you. You need only to be still, to rest, to allow him, to stop meddling, to stop trying to do things that he wants to do, because what, there's only room for one person in the driving seat of a car. You can't share a driving seat unless you're really small. But even then, the bigger person should be steering, okay? I'm doing the pedals. So what I'm trying to say is, you shouldn't be meddling. And if you sit in the driving seat, God won't push you out until you get out and let him sit there. And there are areas where you just need to sit in the passenger seat and close your eyes, which is something Andrea can never do while I'm driving. Anyway, we'll move on. This psalm, Psalm 131, was written by King David. Notice that, he's a king, right? So, and I think King David was pretty intelligent. So he's not just some cosy Christian sitting in an armchair in a home group saying, I'm going to trust Jesus. He's a king, for goodness sake. I mean, lots of us in here have had different responsibilities in life, but none of us, as far as I'm aware, have been a king. He looked after a whole nation. He had huge responsibilities. He was a military leader. He was a political leader. And this is what he says. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. It's a word we don't hear very often in the normal English language. It means kind of superiority complex. I'm not like that. I do not concern myself with great matters. This is the king. I do not worry myself, if you like, with great matters or things too wonderful for me. There is an acceptance in that verse that there is some stuff that I don't understand. And in your life, there is some stuff that you don't understand. I know that about you without knowing you, because you're human. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I have calmed, and that's it. Notice the onus was on David. There's a few things that he did. There's another verse that says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you've got to take the initiative. And he has taken the initiative to just practice a little bit of mindfulness. It's what we call it these days. But it's not a new idea, this idea of mindfulness, which basically, the more I've looked into it, is just about sitting still, doing nothing, and noticing your breathing for as long as you can bear. Until you just calm down. I have stilled and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Another version says, in its mother's lap. There's this picture there of just relaxed, calm. Mum's in control. Mum's got me. I'm a weaned child with its mother. I'm like a weaned child. I am content. And that's in the context of the previous verse that says there are some things that are great matters. It's not like there's nothing going on. I'm still content. The storm's raging outside, but I'm calm, I'm content. My mum's got me. I'm safe in her arms. Like a weaned child, I'm content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and evermore. There's so many things we can put our hope in. But God wants you to rest like a child. He wants you to have faith like a child. My first passage, have faith like a child to enter in to everything that he's got for you. And one of the ways that can be evidenced is through rest like a child. But my third passage is the one I really felt God was speaking to me about this season in my life. And that's to worship like a child. So we've got faith like a child, we've got rest like a child, and now we've got worship like a child. Okay, so here we are, same guy, same writer, King David, king of all of Israel. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. So he starts this psalm by saying, God, I'm going to put you in your rightful place. This is part of the journey of becoming like a child. It's accepting who your father is, who God is, and putting him in his rightful place. We're going to read the whole psalm today, and you'll see that after verse 2, it just goes back to talking about everything man does is quite clever, but God's the ruler of the universe. And it's kind of knowing your place before God that is so important. But let's have a look at verse 2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Something you just read the Psalms and read that through and think, well, that sounds interesting, sounds nice. I think we need to just dwell on that idea just for a little while. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. Now, I reckon when you read the rest of the psalm, you'll start to realise that the children and infants are actually us. It can be through little children, and children can worship God as soon as they get a grasp of who he is. I mean, we saw some lovely shots, didn't we, in that video Paul showed before of children in worship. There's kind of an abandon about childlike worship. Always used to be a cliche going around about we're supposed to be childlike, but not childish, so I just stopped myself saying childish worship. Childlike worship. Something abandonment about it. There's a lack of inhibition, isn't there? In our last church, every now and then, they brought out this box that they put at the front here, sort of about 2 foot by 2 foot, big box. Well, it felt big to me because it made a lot of noise because it was full of tambourines and shakers and just horrible things that make a noise. And you think, oh no, Reverend Phil's going to let the kids loose again. And you get all the kids at the front for one song only. Thank you, Lord. And they just get involved with the song. But they didn't care that it didn't sort of sound great. Now, some of them, I know, they're just having a bit of a play and they've got no concept of God at all. But hey, there's some parents bringing their children to Jesus. And as they grow up thinking church is fun, that's a pretty good starting point, isn't it? But some of those kids, they actually got a grasp of who Jesus was. They knew what it was all about. They understood the words of the very simple song we were singing, Great Big God or whatever it was. And they were just abandoned in praise. What is it that's so special about that? Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. A stronghold. Now, if we hadn't read that verse, and if we were just to come to the concept completely cold, without any prior ideas, and we were just to ask, how do you think we would establish a stronghold against our enemies? Would we say, would our first response be, oh, that would be through the praise of children and infants? No, it wouldn't. This is just completely topsy-turvy. It is not the way people think generally. This is God's methodology. It's hilarious, really. Okay, let's think. David was aware of physical enemies. So we can spiritualize this and talk about our spiritual enemy, the devil, who's roaring like wandering around like a lion and all that sort of business. We can think of principalities and powers and all that's true. But for now, let's just imagine a physical enemy. I've never had a physical enemy and I don't want one. I mean, I've been hit before and just pushed around and stuff, but I've not really had a physical enemy. Maybe you have. But if you wanted to establish a stronghold, a Napoleonic fort like we see at Berry Head, something strong against the enemy, what are you going to do? You're going to do physical things, aren't you? You're going to build a fort. You're going to put security systems on your house. You're going to make sure the alarm works. Or you're going to sit at home and praise Jesus like a child. This is what the King of Israel is saying. And what's more, the Bible says David was the greatest king Israel ever had. This is God endorsing David's leadership. God is saying this is the greatest king we ever had. So, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Two other words. This is a modern version of the Bible, but I think those words sound quite old-fashioned, really. Who's there, friend or foe? But they will be silenced by children's praise. And I'm today saying childlike praise. Childlike praise. So whatever your situation is, we've said it before from the front, quite a few times, and Andrea referred to it a bit a couple of weeks ago when she got up and had a bit of a word for us. It's praise. We've just got to praise him. But I want to take the pressure off and say it can just be childlike praise. And I want to take God's taken the pressure off me even more as I've been thinking about enemies that I have in my mind, the battlefield of the mind that sometimes goes on. And God's just said, praise me, just worship me, and you'll put me in my rightful place and you'll feel better. Well, actually, God took the pressure off me. He says, you don't even have to feel anything, just praise me. Because sometimes I feel like, and I say it in prayer meetings a lot, let's start with praise, let's start by lifting God high, or enter his gates with thanksgiving, etc. But I do that in my own personal prayer life, and sometimes I just don't feel any better straight away. And I'm trying to feel more edified just by praising God. And God said, just don't worry about it, just do it, just praise me, just worship me. So I'm just there saying, God, you sit enthroned above the circle of the earth. God, you are mighty. God, you are great. And I just feel like, actually, I'm just declaring this to the heavens. I'm just telling myself. I might not feel it right now, but like medicine that doesn't work straight away, sometimes you have to keep taking it, and eventually you feel the effects. And I just wanted to take the pressure off you this morning. If you're going through stuff, and if you feel like you do have an enemy, either a physical enemy or a spiritual enemy or a mental enemy, something that's going on in your world, that enemy will be silenced as you just praise him like a child. And the Bible says praise with understanding, but actually there's also another element in which we just praise without understanding. We just accept. I mean, I can't understand how Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth, how he was able to take the sins of... I mean, I can understand the theology of it, but I cannot fully grasp the enormity of what God did. So there's a lack of understanding always going to be there when, as soon as we start to meddle with the things of God, meddle's the wrong word, as soon as we start to think of the things of God, there's always going to be a bit of a lack of understanding. So why not just not worry about it too much and just praise God? Praise him in your bedroom, praise him as you walk the dog, praise him wherever you are. As soon as that thing comes into your mind, instead of just obsessing over the problem and thinking about it too much, think like David. I don't concern myself with things too wonderful for me, or great concerns or great matters. If the king of Israel can do that, surely we can do the same. And say, I'm not going to concern myself with that. I'm just going to get busy praising God. And actually, eventually, you will feel better. But it's not about feelings. It's about defeating the enemy. Because there is a real enemy out there. There is a real spiritual enemy out there. And he will be defeated. And he will be silenced by our praises. Take the pressure off. Just praise him. Don't worry about it being the most awesome of praise. Just praise like a child. We'll just read the rest of the psalm and then I'll finish. When I consider your heaven, so he starts kind of praising God himself, but this for me is that these following verses help to put the whole thing in context of saying, okay, and I said this before, but I'm just repeating so you understand or you remember what reason is that I'm reading this rest of this psalm. Man's got a load of responsibilities on earth. He's put us in stewardship of the world, and that's really important, and he's given us a lot of responsibilities on the earth. But the overarching theme here is that God stands above the heavens. The first verse says, how great is your name? And the last verse repeats it. So the whole psalm is sandwiched by putting God in his rightful place as king of the universe. So these children, we are his children who are just going to praise him and silence his enemies. Here's some more. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? What are the children that Jesus would be mindful of them and say, I'm going to bless these children because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these? What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, God's children, that you would care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God is in heaven, we are on earth. Let's let our praise be like children. So how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? Faith like a child, trust like a child. How do we deal with the voices in our head that cause so much disturbance sometimes? How do we find peace in a troubled world? How do we find peace in our own troubled world? We trust like a child, like a weaned child. And how do we silence the foe and the avenger? We praise like a child. And when we do, we start to see God fighting our battles for us. And when we do, we start to see living on a new level. As we let go of some of these problems and leave them in God's hands and just praise Him that it is dealt with, we start to live differently. And as we do that, other people start to say, what is it about you? I've just seen some of the stuff you've been through, and look at you, you're still smiling. What's wrong with you? What are you on? What has the doctor prescribed for you? And you're able to say, well, actually, frankly, I believe it's God who's helped me through this. Because you'll look different, you'll feel different as you give your life to Him in a whole new way. Let's stand together if you can. I'm just going to pray a prayer over us. And then we'll have some coffee and fellowship. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've been showing me about being like a child, about leaving problems with you. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that where we have been independent, Lord, that you would teach us to be more dependent on you. And where we have abused the idea of interdependence by only looking to others and not looking to you, we repent of that and we turn again to you. And so we, Lord, choose to enter once again or enter more into your kingdom with our faith like a child. We want to know that rest that the child has who doesn't have any worries because mum's got it and mum's got me and dad's got me. And we want to move into a new level of living where we're able to worship like a child and dance on the head of the enemy as we worship in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.